When you stitch all of these pieces together, you have the golden straitjacket. Unfortunately, this golden straitjacket is pretty much one size fits all. So it pinches certain groups, squeezes others, and keeps a society under pressure to constantly streamline its economic institutions and upgrade its performance. It leaves people behind quicker than ever if they shuck it off, and it helps them catch up quicker than ever if they wear it right. It is not always pretty or gentle or comfortable, this golden straitjacket, but it's here, and it's the only model on the rack this historical season. As your country puts on the golden straitjacket, two things tend to happen. Your economy grows, and your politics shrinks. That is, on the economic front, the golden straitjacket usually fosters more growth and higher average incomes through more trade, foreign investment, privatization, and more efficient use of resources under the pressure of global competition. But on the political front, the golden straitjacket narrows the political and economic policy choices of those in power to relatively tight parameters. That is why it is increasingly difficult these days to find any real differences between ruling and opposition parties in those countries that have put on the golden straitjacket. Once your country puts on the golden straitjacket, its political choices get reduced to Pepsi or Coke, to slight nuances of taste, slight nuances of policy, slight alterations in design to account for local traditions, some loosening here or there, but never any major deviation from the core golden rules. Governments, be they led by Democrats or Republicans, conservatives or Laborites, Gaullists or socialists, Christian Democrats or Social Democrats, those governments which deviate too far from the core rules of this golden straitjacket will see their investors stampede away, they will see their interest rates rise, and their stock market valuations fall. The only way to get more room to maneuver in the golden straitjacket is by growing it, and the only way to grow it is by keeping it on tight. That's its one virtue. The tighter you wear it, the more gold it produces, and the more padding you can then put into it for your society. No wonder so much of the political debate in developed countries today has been reduced to arguments over minor tailoring changes in the golden straitjacket, not radical alterations. In the 1996 American presidential elections, Bill Clinton was essentially arguing, "Sure, we're in this golden straitjacket, but I have a way we can put a little more padding in the elbows and grow the middle a bit." And Republican presidential contender Bob Dole said, in effect, "No, no, you can't loosen the middle at all. Keep it on tight, and we'll put a little more padding in the elbows." Over time, this golden straitjacket is becoming harder and harder for countries to avoid. Here's why. The democratizations of finance, technology, and information didn't just blow away all the walls protecting alternative systems, from Mao's Little Red Book to the Communist Manifesto to the welfare states of Western Europe to the crony capitalism of Southeast Asia. No, these three democratizations also gave birth to a new power source in the world, what I call the electronic herd. Where did this herd come from, and how did it become a force so formidable that it could intimidate and enrich nation states every bit as much as a superpower could?